This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Good morning, readers, and welcome to episode 25 of Sunday Supplement. Hello, Izzy.
Hello.
You're just being facetious now.
I was.
Well, it's not very nice.
Well, you sort of said, good morning, readers, as though it were Robin Williams talking.
No. Robin Williams doesn't, in a vague, distant manner, go, good morning, Vietnam.
Yes, he does. That's exactly how it happened. That's why he was such a good radio personality at the time.
I think Good Morning Vietnam would have been a very different film had it starred me.
I think it would have been an excellent film, mainly because you wouldn't have gone after terrorist sisters. Sorry if I've just ruined the film for a few people.
I'm pretty sure most people have seen it.
I don't think they have. I don't think most people on the age of 25 have seen Good Morning Vietnam.
We need to know our demographic, don't we? Because
we need
know
to
what
do
our age
a
groups.
Survey. We could do one of those polls on like a forum somewhere.
We could put a poll in a field.
We could put a poll in the field and see if people run into it. Cattle will. Cattle will always run into a poll. They're racist like that.
What might also happen is people might tie ribbons to it and start dancing around it.
Dancing?
Yeah, I know. I'm
dancing.
Sorry. Start dancing around it.
Yeah, not dancing.
And pretend it's a giant penis.
You've gone all West Country again. Have you been spending too much time with your fellow hobbits? Is missing a week not listening to a good English turned you into
not
a
listening
little...
to a good English? If you're going to make points about my grammar and dialect and lack of speech stuff, don't undermine
lack
your point.
Lack of speech stuff.
Don't undermine your point by talking.
I can undermine any points and... In my idea, that West Country would be entirely mined off, like North Korea.
What, some sort of DMZ?
Yeah.
But it'd be DMZ, wouldn't it?
It'd be DMZ, right?
DMZ, right. Anyway, did you buy a paper this week?
Yes, of course I did. I bought mine very early in the morning. I was in Oxford at about 8:45 on Sunday morning, and they were still being unloaded. And I know that doesn't sound extremely early, but for a Sunday and for Izzy, that's extremely early. I went in and I had a good route round, and to be honest, the best paper there was The Observer, so I got The Observer.
Okay, I got up about 12:30, meandered into the shop.
And you mean literally meandered? You actually had to cut a way through the earth just by your sheer fluid force?
I don't live in the ground.
I'm suggesting you're a river.
Oh, I see. You're actually using geographical terms.
Well, like the word meander.
I didn't know that. I thought
meander is a bend in the low, sluggish area of a river.
Oh, okay.
That's why you get meanders. You get waterfalls near the source because the water has a lot of potential energy and just goes straight down. Meanders, of course, because it's got a lot of silt in it and it builds up on one side where the water is slowest and it carves out the fast force from the other side. Hence why you get that excellent shot at the beginning of EastEnders.
That's the only time you're ever going to use that information now, having done a degree in it.
Unless I want to pull a geographer, which is very, very often.
Right, I bought The Independent.
Because people want to throw your hands up at you.
Partly, but also because I thought it'd be quite fun to have two good papers for a change. And yeah. We're going to have a liberal off.
A lib off. I'd say that when Boris Johnson does join the Liberal Democrats, he will be called lib off.
I don't think Boris Johnson's going to join the Liberal Democrats anytime soon.
I think he is, because I think the Tories will chuck him out.
Oh, we need to get Tom back on and ask him.
We do.
Essentially, basically, we're two left-wing papers. We're having a socialist wank-off.
I don't know if we are left-wing, though.
I don't think there is a left-wing in Britain anymore.
I literally don't. I think the trouble is the left-wing, which used to have, you know, all these principles and greatness, got overrun with bloody hippies.
Yeah, and Aaron Sorkin left and left John Wells to write it.
Yeah, and they started doing the next election race, and Santos just wasn't a believable character. I mean, that whole last year where you had Santos versus that old kind of mavericky Republican, it didn't really ring true.
No, could never happen, could it? For the 25th time, well, that's probably not true, is it, actually? Because we've done a few where we haven't done proper episode. So for around about the 25th time, what are you going to cut out? I can't see it. 25 times, I can't even say it properly. What are you going to cut out and keep from your newspaper this week, Izzy?
The Observer have an inside an addicted nation. Britain's habits in 2008. And they're not talking about picking your nose or leaving the gas on. I don't know why that is a bad habit, to leave
it's
the gas
on. It's not addictive though, is it?
Oh, I don't know. I sit there at night just going, look at the blue flame, just keep that burning.
Yeah, but that'd be fine if you left it on and lit. It's when you leave the oven on and not lit that's the problem, surely. You just get very smelly scones.
The trouble is, there's too much of The Observer to cut and keep. I've got an entire supplement called Drugs Uncovered, and it is brilliant.
Can you actually cut out an entire supplement?
Well, if you made me choose, they've actually done a survey of over 1,000 Observer readers, and literally asking the percentage of adults who've taken illegal drugs, and they worked that out as 27%. 83% of those who have taken drugs began with cannabis. And 20% of people see crack as the most dangerous drug, and 85% think police officers routine. It's really quite interesting.
Does anyone actually think alcohol is the most dangerous drug?
No, alcohol, according to your perception of the health risk of these drugs, which would you rank as having the least level of risk? Alcohol, 47% of people say that that's the least.
Really?
According to your perception of health of these drugs, which would you rank as having the greatest level of risk? And it comes in at number 7. Tobacco is actually higher than alcohol, which I'm dubious about.
If you're taking in the percentage of risk, you're taking in the percentage of consumption. Surely people are more at risk from something they do more.
I think basically you're at risk if you're Scottish. That was their main fine.
Really? That was their conclusion, was it?
Yeah. On average, all respondents, this includes the people who don't do any drugs, and don't drink any alcohol, and don't smoke.
Me!
Yes, so including worms like you.
Oh.
And including sort of like people who don't do it for religious reasons. The amount people spend on drugs a month is £12.17. Alcohol is £57.56. Tobacco is £21.74 on average. So every person in the UK, on average, spends that a month.
Really?
I spend much less than that on alcohol.
I spend much less than that on all of those things.
Yes, well, you don't do any of them. But if you're Scottish, you're spending £24.52 on drugs, £69.66 on alcohol, and £35.52 on tobacco. So if you're Scottish, you're way... Either that or... Observer readers in Scotland are all alcoholic, drug addict-y smokers.
What's the region that has the lowest, does it say?
It doesn't.
Is it my house?
They did a separate thing saying that drug users spend £70.77 per month on drugs. Drug users tend to spend more money on other legal stimulants. They spend more than twice the amount on tobacco, £50, and considerably more on alcohol, about £94, than the population at large. So it does go to show that if you're into your stimulants, you're into most stimulants, not just the illegal and legal ones. But it's a really nice piece of research, this. Not only do they give you the statistics, they analyse it underneath, so they say you can't really read into this because of this, and you can read into this because of this.
Okay.
So it's well thought through. And there are also funny pictures, like rolled up £20 notes and mushrooms. Of the readership of this disgusting liberal rag, the amount of people who have ever taken it, 27% of Observer readers have taken illegal drugs.
1 in 4.
It's really unfair, because some of the drugs which I've taken, I've taken magic mushrooms, but I bought them from a shop.
Yeah, but that was before they were illegal.
Yeah, so what do I come under?
You're a statistical anomaly.
I'm an outlier. I muck up graphs. But also, I'm very interested in mushrooms, because I've also got the Observer Food Monthly. And I think that's kind of why the percentage of drug users is so high with the Observer, because the pictures and the food is so...
You won't want the munchies when you're looking at that.
I've got an article about chocolate cake, and it says, my favourite nutty sponge... Sorry, this is better, it's better. Right, imagine, you know, thinking about this when you're high. My favourite nutty sponge cake, rich with chocolate nibs.
Nibs or nips?
Nibs. Just listen to the ingredients list of this bastard, right? Butter, golden caster sugar, shelled hazelnuts, dark chocolates, large eggs, ground cinnamon, strong espresso, dark chocolate, butter, cinnamon.
It's a chocolate coronary cake.
Yeah.
My article, if you're interested, which I don't believe you are.
I'm too high, man.
What did you Puritans ever do for us? And it's to celebrate the start of the new Channel 4 series, which we talked about a few weeks ago with Dominic West and John Sim, all about the Puritans and the Roundheads. the guy who wrote it, Peter Flannery, is coming up with this list of really tenuous things that the Puritans have ever done for us. Aside from, you know, America, I suppose.
Bob, who's heard of that place?
Exactly. On the list, he's got female sexuality. He's arguing that without the Puritans writing, women wouldn't have multiple orgasms.
It does really turn me on, I'm sorry. All that stuff about, you know, table manners and eating potatoes slowly with a knife and fork, it just gets me going. I can't... Oh, God.
Well, he says the Puritans write about the female orgasm all over the place, because women do orgasm everywhere.
It's true. I mean, it can be embarrassing, especially if you're in a queue.
Radicalism. He argues that the Puritans essentially started every single revolution subsequent. He said without their revolution, you wouldn't have had the French or the American Revolution.
I think that's not 100% off the mark. I mean, we're very fortunate that our revolution, when I say our revolution, our civil war, which killed a third of adult men in this country, a third. It was pretty horrific.
How was that lucky?
Well, it's lucky it happened so soon, because otherwise we'd be, you know, done with a weird sort of parliamentary system and a weird tin pot dictatorship. Whereas we still have a monarchy and a parliamentary system, which is based in ancient crappy politics, which it does absolve us of complete responsibility over what our rulers decide to do.
Women's lib.
Well, yeah, because they wanted to educate women, the Puritans, didn't they?
His point is that it meant that they didn't have to dress up in stupid clothes, because the idea that beauty was natural and God-given meant that you didn't have to kind of cover yourself in grease paint and bustles and...
You see, I don't think that that's what feminism's about.
No, I don't think that's what feminism's about. Religious tolerance.
Really?
Yeah. He says they tolerated all religions except Catholicism.
Yeah.
Personal hygiene.
They're cleanly people.
Comparatively, yeah.
I'd much rather have grown up in a Islamic society in the olden days than I would have in a Christian one. Because in Islam, you have to be clean. And so therefore, they didn't get diseases and die in massive plagues as often and frequently as are their British smelly chums.
And finally, press freedom.
Freedom of the press, really?
Yeah.
What was Oliver Cromwell? Lord Chancellor? No.
A shit.
He wasn't a shit. He killed our king. He was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool, but he was still a shit. Didn't he slaughter Ireland?
Oh, well, if you're going to take Ireland into account, everybody, pretty much up until Mo Molum, is a shit.
True. But the reason I've chosen this article is basically because there's a really handsome picture of Dominic West with long hair and a moustache.
I was reading that. Earlier, I've read that article when I was sat having coffee.
He sat in a chair pointing at his penis.
Literally, while you've been talking, I was like, isn't that in my paper? I've read that somewhere, and I realised I was reading The Independent.
So there we go, that's what I'm cutting out and keeping. That's two very good things this week.
Well, drugs and Puritans.
Yeah.
I think Puritans will count themselves better than drugs.
It's like polar opposites.
Also, rich, chocolatey, nutty, nibby food.
I don't think Oliver Cromwell ever made a cake.
I don't think you'd have enjoyed a cake. You shouldn't enjoy cake.
Unless you're sat on a spike.
It is still our food culture, though, isn't it? The puritanical, can't have a biscuit, it's terribly wicked.
Oh, yeah, wicked. And yeah, no, you're right, it's true. We do have a very puritanical thing to food. It's a utilitarian thing. We eat to fill ourselves up rather than to kind of enjoy. I think it's changing a bit, but yeah, you're right. To call chocolate wicked. So, should we call it a draw this week?
No, I win. Aww. I've got an entire supplement. I mean, that I only choose a tiny supplement in it. They go into every single drug and talk about it and talk to people who've actually done them and talk about what they do. Give the chemical equations of exactly how different drugs like acid or cocaine affect the brain and tell you why they're dangerous and in what way.
I've got a picture of Vincent Price in my article. Therefore, I win.
No, you don't.
As we all know, Douglas Adams made up the word lifestyle as satire, and it's kind of seeped into culture.
I don't think he made it up.
Well, he used it as satire.
Yeah, he used it as a word which called the Bludgeurons and the Bluhercs to kill each other. Then, because they heard... Well, no, it didn't. There was a peace between this raging thing, and then they heard Arthur Dent say the word lifestyle, and then they thought, aha! And they've travelled across the galaxy, thousands and millions of light years, in order to attack the planet Earth, which they discovered was the source of this terrible, most disgusting word. And when they got here, due to an accident of scale, they got swallowed by a small dog.
Which leads me perfectly into my article, which is about a banker who's now a house husband. And I use banker in many senses of the word. This bloke is a dick. He gave up banking and he spends the first 12 paragraphs trying to make out. So, yeah, bankers are horrible, but I wasn't. I was lovely. I'm a lovely man. I didn't ever do anything nasty as a banker in the city.
Are bankers horrible? I mean, senior ones aren't that horrible, are they? I just thought the young ones were because they thought that's... They just assume that's how you got to be.
I don't think bankers are horrible. I think all people are probably quite nice or not, depending on them as a person. I don't think their job defines their personality.
Yeah, but some jobs attract certain personalities, like going on Big Brother.
Is that a job?
No, but it defines a certain personality.
Okay, that's a fair point. But then he spends the rest of the article talking about how he uses his skills as a banker to run the house.
Yeah, skills as a banker, what are they?
Well, he implemented a three-pillar marketing strategy for the Cub Scouts baking project. He treats his kids like clients who are awkward.
What do you mean?
I don't know. The whole thing just made me want to vomit out of my eyeballs.
Well, I've got loads of lifestyle stuff. I've got politicians and their confessions, which is all about, it's very weird how admitting to taking jobs doesn't affect your career that much at all. However, all of the politicians who've admitted it do so really weirdly. Like Boris Johnson says that you tried cocaine, but it had absolutely no effect. And, but he didn't notice any discernible effect.
Yeah, but Boris Johnson wouldn't notice if his eyeballs fell out.
Oliver Letwin, I blame my friends.
Oh, that's nice of him.
Well, some friends put some dope in a pipe he was smoking, and that had no effect either.
So basically they want to ban drugs that have no effect in their experience.
They're basically arguing that they aren't human. Which is an interesting strategy. Following on from your wonderful thing about stay-at-home dads, there's an article here about there's a guy who wants to decide whether he should become a father at the age of 41. He's talking about actually, you know, men aged over 50 are over 3 times more likely to father a child with schizophrenia compared with men 25 or under. And it's also things like Down syndrome among babies born to men aged 50 and older. And it's quite an interesting little thing. I don't think that necessarily just because you have higher risks means that you shouldn't try.
Well, it's also interesting to hear it from the other gender, really. I mean, you often hear about the risks of having children as a woman over the age of 50, but I don't think I've ever heard of any risks as a man.
It's got paternity frights, 10 bus pass fathers. So you've got Anthony Quinn, dad at 81.
John Humphreys would be one of those, wouldn't he?
Yes, he's on here. Rod Stewart was a dad at 60. Luciano Pavarotti was a dad at 67. The oldest is a guy called
Julio Iglesias. He's a very famous singer.
Is he?
Yes.
I don't know anybody called Julio.
Okay. He's somehow related to Enrique, I think. I might edit that out and do some research.
Nobody could accuse the gynecologist father of Julio and grandfather of Enrique,
yay,
and who was head of Madrid family planning unit, of not taking his work home with him. After having 2 children with his first wife, he remarried, and at 89, when his wife was 40, produced another son. There you go.
Produced, I love that word.
Yes, he produced. He came in a woman's cup. That's...
On which note,
I think I win.
Yeah. Article or farcical?
No, Simon, it's article or farcical, which is how you usually introduce it.
I'm not a kind of a mouse on a space hopper.
No, you're a mouse who swallowed a space hopper.
Well, a mouse who swallowed a space hopper wouldn't go article or farcical, would it? You go and then explode.
Possibly. But you know what? You usually introduce article or farcical like Equinox, the old Equinox program where you followed the laser beam all the way around and it went Equinox!
Equinox.
No, no, it didn't do that. It went Equinox!
It did not do that. It went Equinox.
Equinox! It went Equinox!
I think of all the obscure references we've ever made, that's possibly Equinox. The most obscure.
I used to love that as a kid.
Well, just that bit or Equinox.
I think I used to watch Equinox at about the age of 5.
I used to watch Tomorrow's World, and it used to have this intro sequence that scared me.
How so?
It was like this brown brain. It was flying around a brown brain, and it really freaked me out. And it had this really scary music. And then they replaced it all and put Philippa Forrest on it, and I was a teenager, and things changed.
You suddenly weren't scared.
No.
Or you were scared for other reasons.
Yes. Yes. Should we move on?
Philippa Forrester. Was she your first?
Was she my first? I don't think I've ever had sex with Philippa Forrester, no.
I meant sexual awakening fantasy thing.
Oh, I see. No, not Philippa Forrester, no.
No?
No, I don't think so.
Do you want to elaborate?
I can't remember, if I'm honest. It was probably someone like... Sarah Green or...
Sarah Palin.
Or, no, it might have been Karen Keating. It was definitely from someone from Blue Peter.
Right.
Not the
not John Noakes.
Or John Noakes or Simon.
Was it the elephant having a piss?
Yeah. Oh. Can we do Arkle Farcical, please?
Why? Because you're getting turned on by the thought of that elephant.
Yeah.
It was a baby elephant, Simon. I'd be careful. There are people listening. Right. Every week, I read a newspaper, which is fundamentally better than Simon's, and every week, I read out ludicrous headlines from the Sunday newspaper, and then I make up one up to go in with the mix. So basically, it's Simon's job to work out which ones are genuine articles that appear in this month's Observer, and which ones are farcicals, hence the words article or farcical. Simon, you ready?
I'm still thinking about that elephant.
All these are themed. The first one is simply called Chemical Bonds.
Right. What's Chemical Bonds about?
What do you think it's about?
I reckon it's about a drugged up 007.
No, it is about drugged up ravers enjoying friendship and love.
Chemical Bonds. I understand.
XTC, etc.
XTC, etc. Ecstasy, etc. Okay, that's a drugs thing again. It's thematic.
Yes. Cats get the cream of the powder.
Cats get the cream of the powder. What's that about?
What do you think it's about?
I reckon it's about cats who get the best cocaine and they get it on their whiskers. And then they just suck it down the length of their whiskers and go like that. And then suddenly go, ooh, what's that?
I'm not going to tell you if that's right or wrong.
I'm guessing it's wrong.
Well, what do you think it's about? Cats get the cream of the powder.
Ah, is it sniffer cats? Like sniffer dogs? But cats.
Sniffer cats.
Yeah, but sniffer cats would be rubbish, wouldn't they? Because they just sit in their cage, go, I'm not going out today, I can't be bothered. And they would actually just enjoy the drugs rather than actually go, ooh, look, drugs, bad thing. They go, drugs, party.
You're suggesting that cats will have a cooler high?
No, I'm suggesting that cats couldn't be corralled into sniffing drugs.
They could. If it's catnip, they'd go across an airport for it and then rub themselves.
Yeah, but it's not catnip, is it? How many people smuggle catnip in
it's a serious problem, Simon. The Observer's got an entire thing on it. Catnip is very serious.
Okay.
And then lastly but not leastly, is this an article or is it a farcical? Boozy, moist and crunchy.
Boozy, moist and crunchy. That's all. Whiskey Weetabix.
That's your idea of heaven, isn't it?
No. Weetabix, but not
whiskey. It would
whiskey.
Literally be like if you gave a man a whiskey and gave him a load of wheat and asked him to eat both, vomit, dry it out and chip it.
Ugh.
I don't know if you've ever seen Weetabix being produced, but they do a massive block and they chip it away at it.
Really?
Yeah. But Weetabix are a very dangerous drug because they're quite a large pill to swallow. If you try and do it, occasionally you just get caught in your throat and you end up sounding like Anne Widdecombe.
So, have I got to decide which one of these drug-related things is fake, then, have I?
The ones that didn't make it, by the way, and there are so many. Bitter medicine, agony and ecstasy. Or even better, they're trained on heroin, but to them it's just a smell.
Heroin doesn't smell.
It does. It smells quite strongly as spoons.
Right, I'm going to say that ecstasy, etc. is the one that you've made up.
Why do you think that?
A bit too clever.
What, for The Observer?
Yeah, even for The Observer, I think it's a bit too clever. Am I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong. Put me out of my misery.
You're right.
Oh, wow! Did I win again?
Yeah.
Wow.
Piss you.
That's
listen,
two in a row.
What the hell did you think Cats Get the Cream of the Powder's about? I thought that would definitely get you.
So tell me what it is about.
It's Canadians have long used snow cats to reach the virgin slopes, but now cat skiing has finally come to Europe.
Cat skiing? That's almost as surreal as what we were talking about.
I know!
Oh, not surreal, absurd.
Boozy, moist and crunchy.
Yeah, what's that about? What? That just
obviously,
sounds...
that's from my Observer Food magazine. It's the Observer Food Monthly this month. That's
about
why I
what?
Got it. It's about boozy, moist and crunchy things. There's a list.
think this is the first time we've done a gardening section.
Well, why not?
Buzz off. We're taking it easy, bees tell scientist. Research shows some insects belie their reputation and won't go foraging for food until supplies run out. And basically, they've done this study where they've discovered that bees are really lazy.
What type of bee, though?
Honeybees.
Honeybees?
Basically, they sit in their hive and they look at how much honey they've got in their little section. And if it's not empty, they go, yeah, that's enough. And then when bees come back and have found lots of food source, they put off a pheromone that tells the hive that there's loads about and they should go and get it. They all go, nah, we got enough. It's all right. But also, this is the best bit. When they do eventually get very low, they fly out the shortest possible distance. And if they don't find anything, they just turn around and come back and go, bit bare today.
Basically, you just like the fact that, much like March of the Penguins showed the Christians that God wants us to be together, and Flight of the Mallards showed Stuart Lee that God wanted us all to commit necrophilic gang rape, you are saying that your inspiration from wildlife are lazy bees.
Yeah, because it's funny. I like the idea that, I'm busy as a bee. Oh, good, so am I. I'm asleep on my sofa. I like it. Beat that.
Well, I've got stuff about the garden, obviously.
Oh, hang on. Is that why bees are disappearing? They just can't be bothered anymore.
I don't think so. I think that's...
I think it is. I think they're all just in their hives going, nah, I've had a busy one. I'm putting all six of my feet up today.
Do they have feet?
Well, they have legs. They must have feet.
No, I think it's the sad loss of a bee. You just have hooks at the end of your legs. No shoes if you're a bee. But if they did have shoes, they'd be very heavy.
I'd quite like to see a bee in shoes.
I've basically got very factual information about the sorts of plants you should be planting this time of year. But I've also got, you know, links to the Observer Organic Allotment blog. Oh, yeah!
An allotment blog?
It has a picture of a wheelbarrow with a marrow in it, which looks exceedingly rude. Because the marrow's tilting upwards, expectantly, protruding out from the wheelbarrow, and it looks dirty.
Is it tumescent?
It is tumescent. Now, this sounds amazing. It is a trachelospermum.
Chuck a lot of sperm at your mum?
Yeah, it's literally trachelospermum.
You're filthy.
And that's from the Ask Dan column. Oh, yes!
It's very important that we ask Dan.
We got an apology at the bottom of the Ask Dan. Eagle-eyed readers noticed that the picture captions for autumn trees in the 2nd of November issue were in the wrong order. Apologies for that mistake.
I win by a mile. Bees are brilliant, especially when they're lazy bees.
I think the only reason bees' knees are any good is because they don't have any feet. Can I just say before we begin, apologies to our dear readers who write in every week. We never mention them. We don't have time this week to go through all the hate mail. Thank you very much to Rebecca. You're very funny. And hello to Matthew.
On which note, we need to decide who does indeed have the superior supplements.
Well, I think I do.
Why?
I've got Drug Section, I've got Observer Magazine, I've got the Observer Food Monthly, but the Drug Section wins it because all you had was a story about bees, and I think you'll find ease beat bees with ease.
See, you're just trying to win with rhyming, and you know I'm a sucker for a rhyme.
I did not know that.
I think you did. I think that's why you often win article of article.
I didn't do any rhyming article. To be fair, you did win article of article, and I can't let you do that, so...
Two in a row.
Shut up.
That's how great I'm getting at this game. Of 25-ish, I've won 2, 3. That's brilliant.
I don't think you've won any, really.
I've got a better strike rate than you have. You're 100% failure in article or farcical.
I did not have 100% failure.
Yes, you do. You lost the one that I did for you.
No, I didn't.
You can't rewrite history.
I think you find that's what the Puritans did.
Oh, I see. You're trying to outwit me with my own articles now.
I don't think Puritans, you know, they seem nice when they're over here on the fact that they kill kings. What Puritans have got against kings and Native Americans? I think it's just elaborate headwear. But so I've won. So well done, me. Simon's lost.
No. I'm sticking up for myself this week. I think I should win.
Why? I've got the Observer Food magazine, okay? It's the Observer Food Monthly, right? It comes out once a month. It is so good. People buy
Is it
the
so
Observer...
good you want to eat it?
Yes.
All right, if you eat a page of the Observer Food supplement, you can win.
Okay, but I don't want to rip a page out because it's already good.
Well, it's the only way you're going
to
win.
You're not getting me to eat a page.
Right, well, then you lose.
Well, you eat the entire Independent and then set light to your eyebrows and you'll win. Go.
Okay.
In 10 seconds.
All right, you win then, don't you, clearly, because I'm not going to do that. I haven't got any eyebrows.
That is true.
So the paper you should have bought last Sunday was...
The Observer. Because it is better than The Independent. It is.
Do you think it is, though?
Yeah,
if you're being
genuinely do,
unbiased,
yeah.
Do you think The Observer's better than The Independent?
Definitely. That's why I bought it, because I like to read it.
So, join us next week. We'll have some more stuff to jabber about.
And you're
about.
Not winning Article or Farcical again. Ever.
Ooh, there's a challenge.
I bet even if we got the same paper, you wouldn't win Article or Farcical.
There's a challenge. I may consider that. So yeah, join us next week. If you want to write to us, sorry we didn't get to the letters this week. It's Sunday Podcast.
Hey to Rebecca and Matt.
Yeah, hey to Rebecca and Matt. Sundaypodcast@hotmail.com.
Or you can visit our Facebook group and write on our wall like some sort of mad graffiti artist high on drugs. And that is Search Sunday Supplement. In the thing.
Make sure you don't end up at the Sky group, which is all about football.
Yeah, because we're not into football. I actually refer to football sometimes as soccer and get evil stares from people.
And you can also visit our website at www.sundaysupplement.com.
We are available on iTunes. Do leave us a review if you like it. And tell a few friends if you like it. If you don't like it, do tell a few enemies and get them to listen. Because, you know, you may as well waste their time as well as yours. So, we will see you next week. Use your spider senses and seek us out.
Bye-bye.
Buzz off.
Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Watt. Kind permission.